The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. We are live at Taconic High School, and I can't be happier. We've been trying to do this once a month. We had a little kerfuffle, I think, last month. But here we're back. We're at the Taconic High School Studios. This program is being produced by Taconic High School students. And I get so excited about this and coming out here and doing it with the students. And Mr. Jamie Choquette is the teacher. And I can only say he has a similar hairdo to mine. Otherwise, I'd put a gold star on his forehead, but we can't find our foreheads. But he's a really good guy. With me today is someone I have been friends with for a very long time, have the utmost respect for. His name, in case you don't recognize him, his name is Smitty Pignatelli. He was a former state rep, and now he's just a civilian. But we have so much to talk about. And I want you to stay tuned. This is going to be a good program. Smitty may be retired from official public service, but he has not given up public service. And we're going to talk about a little bit of his past, but a whole bunch of things he's doing now to keep all of us centered. And that's what, for me, the two things he's so involved with, and we'll talk about them, they're near and dear to my heart, and they keep me centered on what's important in life. Believe me when I tell you. So, Smitty, good morning, buddy.
Welcome. Yeah. Always good to see you, Bill.
Good seeing you, and thank you for doing this. It means a great deal to me and to the students and the people at the school. So, I have to ask you, how's it feel not to drive back and forth to Boston a lot?
Well, I was telling you on the way in this morning, I was down there a couple of weeks ago because I got an award from Project 351, a statewide service organization, and I forgot how long it took me to get there.
Yeah.
And how far it was. So I don't miss the drive at all. I mean, going back and forth for 22 years was a long ride. I put probably over a million miles in my car. I miss the people, but I don't miss the politics, and I definitely don't miss the drive. So, but I'd like to see do some good things here in my hometown, my home county, and I think that's what we're working on right now.
Well, I will say this because I mean it from my heart, and you know that. You have done so much for this, your town, your district, but the entire county. I think back on, all the former players that you were in the legislature with, and some have gone, some are still here, retired like yourself. But if we didn't have the representation, the cohesive representation in the State House, we wouldn't get anything.
Well, it's like these young kids today running the show.
Yeah.
It's a team. A team, and they got to work together, and I think that's what we did pretty well for the Berkshire delegation.
Yeah.
We're outnumbered every day we went to work, so we tried to build a West 413 coalition, which kind of leveled the playing field. I always said there was, now three state reps for the Berkshires. There's 23 for Boston alone. So we are outnumbered every day, but if we worked as a team in the 413 area code, we got their attention, and I think that was really important, and I think we were very successful because of that.
Oh, I do, too. I have cousins that live in Boston, and my aunt, who's passed away now, used to say, when the children are born, one's a priest, one's a politician, one's a nun, and one is a cop, or so I can't remember them all. But that's kind of the way it is there. On every block, there's just about a politician or a priest or somebody. You know, you tell a story, and folks, you'll see where this goes in to the rest of the program, because we are approaching Memorial Day. Now, I'm an old man now, and sometimes Memorial Day touches my heart and my eyes. I get stuff in them, and they blink. But, Smitty, how did you get the name Smitty?
Oh, boy, you're going to get stuff in my eyes.
I know, I know.
Well, my father grew up with his best friend growing up in Lenox back in the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah.
Was a young man named William Smith, but they called him Smitty. They were thick as thieves. They did everything together. The stories were that, you know, Smitty would sleep over at my dad's house, my dad would sleep over at his house, and their respective mothers would 2 or 3 days later say, "Is Smitty coming home? Is John coming home?" They just did everything together. Yeah. They played baseball together. They hung out together. And then World War II broke out, and they went different directions. My father was in the Air Force. Smitty went to the Navy Air Corps. And sadly, at 19 years of age, the plane he was a radio man for went down in the Pacific, and he's forever 19 years old. My father was heartbroken to lose his best friend, who was an only child, a child of divorced parents, which was unheard of even way back then.
Yeah.
But he made a pledge to their family that if he ever got married, ever had children, ever had a son, the firstborn son would be named Smitty. So Smitty was my name before I was born.
Yeah.
My mother, being a good Catholic girl, had to have a proper first name. So my first name is William, but I've been going by Smitty since the day I was born. And so I'm named after my father's best friend, and it's something that I carry with me each and every day. I wear my father's dog tags from World War II every day as a constant reminder of not only his lifetime of service, but of the sacrifice that he and that generation went through and what your generation went through with Vietnam. So Memorial Day is a very special day in my life. It was probably, other than Christmas, my father's favorite holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Because it showed a commitment to service and to honor the veterans, and especially the ones who paid the ultimate sacrifice and are forever 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, now when as I in case you haven't noticed, I passed my mid 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm now, somebody said to me, "Oh, you're in your late 70s, and you're lucky that I'm in my late 70s." But Memorial Day has a whole new meaning. Yes, you know, I'm not gonna put, somebody was really just going off the other day on me. Yeah, they got car sales or whatever. You know, every person who's, like in my case, on the Vietnam Wall, Vietnam veteran cemeteries, things like that's what they'd want. They, you know, so let's not tear the commercial end of it down, but that doesn't preclude us engaging and believing in the basic premise of it. Memorial Day for those who gave all they could give.
Yeah, whether it's a car sale or a sale at the grocery store or the hardware store, it raises awareness of the day, and it shouldn't just be another day on the calendar.
Right.
Memorial Day is special to me and a lot of folks, and it shouldn't be just viewed with young people as a day off of school or a day out of work. It's there for a reason, and the reason we're able to do a show like this at a local high school is because of the service and sacrifice of people who came before. So Memorial Day is a very it's a somber day. All you have to do is walk through the cemeteries and see the flags that are displayed.
We're there. The Polish princess and I were there yesterday.
Yeah. But then it gives you a better understanding and appreciation of what was going on, even here in Pittsfield or the Berkshires, of young families that were impacted by this.
And I would like to take a moment here to thank all the volunteers, Jim Clark, John, everybody that had anything to do with putting those flags up, because it is a massive undertaking. Hmm. And when you go there, and I go up and I to the top where my parents are buried, and you stand and you overlook, and you go, my God, a lot of people paid, you know, for I don't want to get political here, but for people to stand out in the street and be anti-American that were born and raised here, that takes.
Yeah.
whatever.
I went down to Arlington National Cemetery a couple of Christmases ago with wreaths across America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And placing wreaths on those stones. And like you say, just standing there and looking at the sea of headstones, all in perfect rows. No matter what direction you're looking in, they're all in perfect rows. And that's just one cemetery in the world that where American soldiers are buried. So it puts in a different perspective and appreciation of what people were willing to forego to serve our country.
And you, in a way, why I'm happy Smitty came here today is because he wasn't always a public servant. He was. He actually, at one point in his life, worked for a living. Tell them what you did, man, because they're teaching kids to be that here.
Well, I love this high school. I think the trades are what we need. I mean, what these young folks are trying to do with film and media. I told them before that my daughter works in Hollywood and television because of film and media, the exposure that she got at a young age. But I spent most of my life as an electrician.
Yeah.
You know, but there was a pull to public service. Never dreaming I was going to be in an elected office for 40 years or in the state legislature for 22 years, but there was a draw to do something for my community, and I think that's what service is all about.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in elected office to serve your community.
That's right.
But that was the draw that my father exposed me to at a very young age, but I saw the pleasure that my father got from being in a position to help other people. And that's what kind of lit the fire with me. But I love pulling wire and doing electrical work. My brother still runs the business that my father started in the late 50s very successfully. And he's making more money than I was as a state representative. But the point is we're giving back to our community, and that's what was in our DNA.
Yeah, and just to say, I have to tell you a story about your dad. I don't call a lot of people Mister. So in the case of Smitty's dad, because I respected him, and that's my sign of showing respect, because I'm a young kid, you know, when I met him. And I would always call him Mr. Pignatelli, and he would always say, no, it's John. And one time I finally had to say, I don't call a lot of people Mr., only those that I respect. Hmm. And he never said it to me after that, to call me John.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, that was that generation.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell the story, when you go down to the State House, very much about protocol.
Oh.
Representative this, senator that, chairperson this or that. I was just Smitty. You know, and that resonated with people that it was, I'm a human being. I didn't think I was anybody special. Yeah, I was one of 160 people elected statewide, but I was on a first name basis with people. And that's how you get to know people, not by Mr. or Mrs. or Chairman this or Chairman that, but Smitty. People knew me as Smitty, and that resonated with folks.
Yeah, and when you think and you see some of it today, it's changed so dramatically through the years, even since you've been in office.
Yep.
You know, I had the good fortune of being on Capitol Hill in the mid-80s. Reagan was President Reagan, and Tip O'Neill was Speaker. And it was just a different place.
Yeah.
Sil Conti walked on the floor with the pig's nose and for the pork. But it was collegial.
It was you could duke it out on the floor of the House or the Senate, be respectful, and then go home and break bread or go out and play cards. I mean, not many people know this, and I know you do, is that Silvio Conti, our 32-year-long Republican congressman from the Berkshires,
that's right,
and Tip O'Neill, the very liberal Democrat from Boston who was Speaker of the House, shared an apartment together in Washington, D.C. So they could duke it out on the issue, go home, break bread, play cards at night, laugh about the day, and then go back and do battle the next day. They could agree to disagree, but they could disagree without being disagreeable. And I think that's what we're missing in politics today, that if you don't agree with me, then I don't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I hate you.
It's the only way we can learn from one another. And I always remember my dad saying to talk to as many people as possible. Someone may have an idea that you've never thought of.
Right.
But if you and I don't talk, neither one of us can learn. I think we need to do more of that.
Well, you know, too, one of the things, and a little aside from where we're at, but I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program for a while. And One of the things, one of the highest compliments I have ever gotten was from a violent youthful offender. And that was, you really listened to what I had to say. You're one of the first people that ever really listened to what I was saying. You know, I wear that as a badge of courage because I try to listen to what people are saying. I don't always agree with them. But when I started in radio 20 years ago up in Vermont, I started with this. We'll disagree, but I will never be disagreeable, and I will not tolerate people who are or nasty. You know, I did a call-in show for a while. That's an experience, you know. But what – you kind of said it, and I've heard you say it before. What was the most rewarding thing about being a public servant?
I think that the trust that the electorate, meaning the citizens, put in me for all these years to, you know, represent their best interests, the – not afraid to disagree on certain issues as long as I can explain those issues. But I think some of the most rewarding things are the things that you will never hear about. I helped a young boy. He was a very handsome young boy in the Berkshires, a star athlete. His mom called me down to her house. She was a single mom. She was a paralegal at a local law firm. You know, this is 20 plus years ago, probably not making a lot of money back then. And she says, I need you to come down to talk about my son. And she had a picture of him in his football uniform, handsome young man. And then she showed me another picture that looked like mom or dad snapped a picture first thing in the morning. His eyes were half shut. His hair was a mess. And I chuckled initially. But then I quickly realized that's why the mom invited me down here, because this star athlete at 17 was a full-blown heroin addict at 19, you know, and needing help. And there was this little pill that the doctors recommended that Mass Health did not cover that would suppress his tendency for addiction. And $10 a pill, they recommended 4 pills a day. You do the math. 4 pills a day, seven days a week, 365 days a year. We got MassHealth to cover it. It's now methadone, Suboxone. It's the cure that people are using every day right now to get off of these addictions. But back then, it wasn't allowed. This young man called the State House. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Around 8:30 at night on a Wednesday night. I happen to be still in the State House. So I answer the phone. Awful habit of mine. When the phone rings, I answer it.
There you go.
And this young voice stumbled. Is this Representative Pignatelli? I said, yeah, this is Smitty. And it was a young man. And I guarantee you, he was calling the State House at 8:30 on a Wednesday night, assuming he's going to get a voicemail. He got me. And he said, I want to thank you for saving my life. And I said, don't thank me. Thank your mother.
Yeah.
I said, you treated her horribly. She stuck by you, and now you're on the right path. So thank your mother. But when you get older, don't be afraid to share your story.
Right.
And that there was a public official that was there to help you. So those are the things that you can't put on social media. You can't do a press release that I saved somebody's life. But those are some of the most rewarding things that you will never read about or hear about until I just told you.
And I think especially you, because I know of some of the people that you have helped in your district, but also not always in your district. Some people and I think that's – I don't know how to say it properly, but it's being overshadowed by the clicks on the internet. Rather than the quiet, I help this person. The family knows. The person knows. The world doesn't need to know.
When I announced I wasn't going to run last year, and you were there for the announcement.
I
wanted you there.
Thank you.
People sent me emails or handwritten notes and – thanking me for something I did for them or their family, things that I forgot about. But they never forgot. They will always remember. And that's what service is all about. And that's what I think the young generation needs to be exposed to it.
Exactly.
The politics of today, you know, nationally, if that's what we watch, are not symbolic of what we're seeing here locally, and that you can really make a difference in your own community, your own neighborhood, in elected office or not, but you can do it right here at home. And that's my mission now, is to keep doing some service.
Good.
And
well, we're
going to
get to that.
I've
got this planned right out here on the phone here. See, I teach these kiddos that never go into an interview ill-prepared, because I've seen you've seen that, and I've seen that on TV recently. And I mean, J.D. Vance, you better have your pencil sharpened when you take him on, because I watched a couple of those. But the other important point, too, that I want to stress why we're here at Taconic. Taconic has become a cornerstone, in my opinion, and oh, I got to say this. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti, and the Mayor's Office, Pete White, and the City Council, and or the person riding their bicycle in the northbound lane, southbound. So, or the electric bike riding, tearing down the center of North Street at 30 miles an hour on the sidewalk. Almost got run over the other day coming out of St. Joe's Church. In that, Taconic is building people's careers, not jobs, careers. This, and there's a whole new name. I used to call it a trade school, but there's a whole new name. I can't remember it. And to see these young people working towards a high school diploma, but also learning a trade that they'll, if they never use it, if they go to college and become a doctor, I tell this story every time. Had a young lady many years ago at the old Taconic, and she said, I said, oh, she came in, she's petite. And I said, so what are you, metal fab? Now, I'm from the shop. Most of those guys' breakfast was rusty nails and kerosene, right? I mean, hey, how's it going? And I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, I'm going to use that to pay for my desired career as a nurse practitioner.
Wow.
Because she knew she had to do something. And I found out shortly after, she left graduated from Taconic, and then went into a special, like, underwater or something, welding program, where the dollar amount an hour was what I would make a week, you know. So, but that, you're right, and I would be remiss, because I know this guy, I know how committed he is to the city, to the church, to his family, to the boys' club. George Haddad brought that Toyota certification. George, the city owes you.
Yep, big time. I mean, he sees the future. I mean, he's running a very successful business.
Yep.
Sees the aging demographics of his auto mechanics.
Yeah.
And invested in that, and get the first ever in the country Toyota USA investment here in the Berkshires, in Pittsfield at Taconic. I think it's really special. I remember coming to the announcement because George and I have been friends since high school.
Yeah.
And I remember telling the kids that, you know, 4 years from now, when your classmates are graduating college, hoping to get a job, having anywhere from $30,000 to $75,000 in student debt, you could be making $90,000 to $110,000 at Haddad Motors in Lenox or Pittsfield.
Right.
Their eyes lit up. They couldn't believe it. But that is the investment. These are the career paths that need to be exposed at a very early age.
Yes.
Me as an electrician is a great example. I worked hard, but I made a good living. My brother's making a very good living, but he's working very hard. But there's career paths for the young people that want to stay here in the Berkshires.
Exactly.
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of job opportunities from nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, auto mechanics, which we don't call auto mechanics anymore. They're computer diagnostic technicians.
Yes.
Clean room technologists, plumbers, electricians, HVAC, clean room technology. The list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
These are career paths that we could stay here in the Berkshires and build the next generation.
And should life deal you a card where you have to, you have a kid who is allergic to pollen and you got to move to Arizona or whatever,
sure,
you can take that trade with you.
That's right.
I can't say enough about Taconic, about the entire, they're probably not proud of it, but I'm a product of the Pittsfield Public Schools. Really?
We're all proud of it.
Oh, thank you. No, I kid. But seriously, the in the PHS, the pathways now that they're doing down there, they're all they're for the future. You know, I think you and I have had a discussion in the past about history. We spend more time training about Rome than we train about World War II.
That's right.
And World War II, while it's 80 years over, it's still fresh in a lot of people's minds. And it certainly, World War I, World War II certainly divvied up the world differently. Pakistan and all the, now that was all the UK, Churchill.
We got an education. We got to move it up a generation or two.
I think so.
I mean, less time on the Dark Ages and more time on getting up to Watergate or to the current state of events. Let people understand what's really going on in the world.
Yeah. I had something happen to me the other day at a big, what do they call it, big box store, local big box. I was walking, the only reason I wore it was raining. And in case you haven't noticed, I don't have a lot of insulation up there. So I put my I keep it in the car, my Vietnam hat, and kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit. So I was walking down this big box store, and this lady, I'm going to say late 30s, maybe 40s, said, you should be ashamed to wear that hat.
Wow.
And I said, really? Why? We know what you people did over there. And I said, yeah, some of it's true, but most of it's a lie. And so I have to give credit where credit's due. In the police academy, Captain Meffin said, you can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk. So just make up your mind what you're going to do. Well, I did. I made up my mind. I'm not going to engage. I'm leaving.
It's the lack of education, the lack of information, the lack of understanding. And I think we have an obligation to tell the truth of what really went on over there in Vietnam and other places.
Yeah.
And then people can still form their own opinion, but they'll have the facts.
Facts. But the thing that got me is I've been home for 54 years. And I haven't had any kind of incident like that in the last, I'm going to say, probably 45 to 50 years. So, I mean, it really caught me off guard that you would you might think it, but why would you say it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break here in about 2 minutes. I want you to stay tuned. We're going to cover some events that are coming up that are near and dear to Smitty's heart and definitely near and dear to my heart. And you're going to find out this guy hasn't retired. I'm just passing that on. I mean, he doesn't sit around and eat bonbons and watch Jerry Springer. Is he still on Jerry Springer? I don't know. I don't even know if he's still alive. Again, we are here at Taconic High School. This program is being produced by the students in this program, and I am so happy and proud that we are here. Their teacher, Mr. Jamie Choquette, I met him, I interviewed him. He's an amazing guy, and this program has some amazing kiddos in it. Amazing students in it. And when you stop and think, the people that are being trained in as electricians, as carpenters, as auto, not mechanics.
Computer diagnostic technicians.
Computer diagnostic technicians, body people. It's amazing. And to see these. And I want to thank the young people that are doing this because they got here before school started. And that, to me, it shows the dedication they have to their trade and what they're doing. And I can't say enough for all of you people who, teachers, administrators in our schools, thank you so much because you are preparing these folks for the future. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And by the way, I have a young man in here. He's keeping me on track. Dave and the people at the back at the station, finally they got somebody that can keep me going or keep me in line. With that, I would say, Smitty, when we come back, we want to talk about some of these endeavors you have going on. Yep. And all I can say to folks is please stay tuned. And for not for my sake, but for what Smitty's got going and for what these kids are doing. So there we are. He's counting down on his fingers, and that's how I did my math most of the time. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs. Pizza Pizza is back. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. Enjoy pizza from KJ Nosh Catering, Porta Via Italian Eatery, and much more. And you get to decide who will win the People's Choice Award. Pizza Pizza at Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 15th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under in advance. Get your tickets now at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Eats a Pizza comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Berkshire County is headed toward a brighter tomorrow, and that future begins with you. The Berkshires are on the brink of falling into a major mental health crisis. Due to the lack of access, many patients, especially children, are waiting months for appropriate care. You can help by advocating for yourself and others to find careers in mental health. Be a mental health hero for the Berkshires. For more information, please visit thebreencenter.org or namibc.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the host of WTBR's Morning Drive. We air every weekday morning, 7:30 to 8:30. The goal of my program is to inform, educate, and have a few chuckles along the way. We have wonderful guests, political, arts, actors, musicians, teachers. I look forward for you to listen in or watch us on PCTV. Thank you.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. Thank you for coming back with us. I'm here with former public servant, Smitty Pignatelli, and he has... giving how many years were you in the State House?
22 years.
22 years in the State House, and he's still normal. You know, I mean, the one thing
that's debatable.
These are people. I asked him to please bathe and get the Potomac dust off him before he came back, but or the Charles dust. You're involved with so many things, and two of them really touch my heart. One, tell us about what's going to be for in July.
Well, a few years ago, as you know, the Travel in Vietnam Wall came to the Berkshires. Probably 15, 18 years before that, it was out at BCC.
BCC, yeah.
If you've never been to Washington, D.C., to see the actual Vietnam Wall is such a powerful, moving experience to see that. And to so this is a scaled version that came to Dalton probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Did a great job, though, so you've got to tell them. What a wonderful job they did.
Well, and I'll tell you about Wayne Walton from LP Adams, who was such a tremendous asset for us as well. But the I connected with the people. They're based in Florida. They travel all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what does it take, and when can we get it back to the Berkshires?
Right.
So he says, well, put you on the list. And then about 10 months ago, 8, 9 months ago, I get a cold email saying, how's July 10th of 2025? I said, go for it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was required, how much money we needed to raise, what was required for a site. I just wanted to lock in the date because I think it was time to bring it back. And there was, as you know, 55,000 plus names engraved on this Vietnam Wall. So this is a scale version. Every single name is on it. And of the, you know, the 25 Berkshire residents that were served and died in Vietnam, it's a very moving tribute. And I spent a lot of time the last probably 4 or 5 months, talking to Vietnam veterans like yourself, talking about the experience. And I think it's good to expose it to the next generation of the young people that are here today that are in there listening and their families to come visit this wall. And just puts it in a different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always say it with all due respect to all veterans, but World War II veterans, the ones who survived, lived to be anywhere from 90 to 105.
Right.
The Korean War veterans, which are the forgotten war, lived to be 85 to 95.
Right.
The Vietnam veterans and everything that you were exposed to in Vietnam, Bill, and you know some of your health issues right now are because of what you're exposed to. If they live to be 85, they're very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, so
very lucky.
But the way they were treated when they came back to American soil, I think, speaks a lot about why they internalized everything. But the stories that you have and so many other veterans have, I think, are so important to be told and shared for the next generation. I talked to a very dear friend of mine. I've known him for 45 years from Pittsfield. Did 3 tours in Vietnam. You want to talk about it? Now, he's keeping a journal. So when he does die, he will leave a journal for his children. But I want him to articulate these stories, and he's not ready to do that. He said, all I wanted after my third tour was to come back, sleep in a clean bed between clean sheets, and have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
He says, Smitty, I've been home for almost 50 years. I haven't had a good night's sleep yet. So the trauma that you experienced in Vietnam are things that the next generation needs to understand and have a greater appreciation. So we're bringing the Traveling Vietnam Wall back to the Berkshires.
That's so wonderful.
On July 10th. LP Adams, Wayne Walton, who was such a champion for when it was in Dalton.
In Dalton,
He called me up out of the blue. I never met Wayne Walton in my life.
Wow.
He called me out of the blue and said, I will take care of it. I will donate the lumber and the manpower and the time. I've got the AstroTurf. I've got the word mulch. We will get it set up when it arrives. So Wayne has been a real big asset. We've raised about $10,000.
Yeah.
We have to have hotel rooms and food and things like that for these folks that are coming. But we're looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
We hope to have people checking in. And you want to see where, you know, William F. Coakley from Lenox's name is engraved.
I was just going to say.
We're going to have a book there. This is okay. He's on panel number 9, line number 23.
You can go
over and look at it and identify it because 55,000 names is a lot of names. But if you have somebody that you particularly care about, we'll be able to tell you exactly where their name is.
Interestingly enough, and I have to thank the American Legion and the Post here in Pittsfield. And Dick Kirk, the late Dick Kirk, was a wonderful guy. Put me in to travel to the Vietnam Wall. And they called it an honor flight. There's something about that wall sucks the emotions out of an old man.
You don't have to have a direct connection to Vietnam or know somebody that was in Vietnam. What I love about going to Washington, D.C., is I always make it a point to visit all of the memorials.
Me too.
During the daylight hours. And I go back and visit them all at night.
Yes.
And it's
different.
It's a very different feeling.
Yes.
But the thing that I loved about the Vietnam Wall and the World War II Memorial, which you know I'm
Your
connected
dad.
To,
yeah.
Is the noise of the city disappears.
Yes.
As you get closer to it. I can't explain that to anybody on how or why that happens, but the busyness of that community, and that
yeah.
city, dissipates as you get closer to these memorials, because even people walking who are talking,
yeah.
they get quiet as they get yeah. closer to the memorial. It's such a powerful, powerful memorial.
Yeah.
And to bring a scale version to the Berkshires, I think is going to speak volumes about and honoring
yeah.
people like yourself.
That, well, the really the heroes and the beyond are the names on that wall.
Hmm.
And you know, when I was working in Washington, well, I was on Capitol Hill. Can you use that as work? I'm just asking. if you like, clear that up for me and get back to me. But I would go there, and one of the eeriest things that ever happened to me, because I used to do what you did. It's one thing in the day. There's a lot of – you go at night. It's almost a holy place.
Incredible.
It's like a church. But then I walked up on – it was a misty, cold October night, the Korean War. Mm. You want to talk about eerie.
Yeah.
But I mean, field trips are great. And if you can get a field trip to Washington, D.C., it's certainly worth the time to go to those monuments because they mean so much. And go to the Lincoln Memorial and
The other thing that I think is important, though, Bill, is you don't look at the Vietnam Wall and just see 55,000-plus
no.
names. There's a story behind each
Every
one
name.
Of those names. And I think that's what we need to learn and understand. Because I remember when I was a selectman many years ago in Lenox, the state offered a program called Operation Recognition. And it was allowed a community to
yeah.
award high school diplomas
yeah.
to people
oh, yeah,
who
yeah.
dropped out of high school
yeah.
to go to off to war.
Yeah.
So I was able to identify three men from Lenox at that time. One of them, sadly, he had already passed away. One of them absolutely jumped at the chance. He actually lied about his age to join the
yeah.
war. He was the youngest Marine in Massachusetts
wow.
at that time and was shipped out of Lenox, Massachusetts, and was wounded in the Battle of Saipan, one of the
wow.
bloodiest battles
yeah, yeah.
of World War II. But we gave him his high school diploma.
Oh, wow.
He cherished that to the day he
oh,
died.
Oh, sure.
And I went to his wake. The diploma was in the casket with him.
Oh, wow.
He gave up his high school prom. He
oh,
missed
sure.
the Friday night football games. He missed being,
yeah.
you know, dating his girlfriend or going to college. But he missed that and cherished that high school diploma. The third person was hesitant to acknowledge that he never graduated high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had a very successful job at General Electric here in Pittsfield. And he had 23 people working under him.
Yeah.
So he says, call me next week. Give me some time to think about it. So I called him the following week, and he said, no, Smitty, I'm going to take a pass. He says, I would be embarrassed to let the people that worked for me
yeah.
know that I never graduated high school. And I said to him, I said, you are the example of what
right.
why we
yeah.
need to recognize that through hard work and diligence, you can be
sure.
very successful. He said, maybe next year, maybe next year. Sadly, he died 6 months later.
Yeah.
So the next year never came for him. But those are the stories behind the names that I think it's our obligation to
yeah.
show the names, do some research, and tell the stories because
yeah.
they gave up so much. And the opportunity to be
yeah.
married, become a father, a grandfather,
wow.
walk their daughter down the aisle for their wedding. I mean, those are yeah. missed opportunities. And the banners that we installed in Lenox just last week, you know, like my namesake, my dad lived to be 95.
Yeah.
His best friend is forever 19 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, forever.
So think about that.
Yeah, and one of the other projects, and we'll come back to the wall.
Yeah.
One of the other projects that Smitty has going is a tribute to the Gold Star families, mothers, dads. Tell us about that. I've told Smitty this story, I believe, but I'll share this with you. couple, 3 years ago, I was asked to speak at Memorial Day down in the Pittsfield Cemetery. And I always try to start by thanking the Gold Star families, moms. And so anyhow, long story short, I said, and to the Gold Star moms and families out there, thank you for your service, because forever there'll be that empty chair.
That's right.
At every holiday, every birthday. And at the end of the thing, at the end of the ceremony, I'm watching this elderly lady, and she was older than I am. And, you know, I went to school with Methuselah, so, and Plato was in another section. But she came and said, may I hug you? And I'm thinking, sure, you know. And she said, you are the, all the years, her son was killed in Korea. Mm. And she said, first time that Evan acknowledged the Gold Star.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was a kiddo growing up, the lady that lived with my grandparents, and Mrs. Wilson, she was a Gold Star mother, and she was so, she'd come out in a little white uniform and Memorial Day. And so what you're doing with this touches a lot of people near and dear to me.
Yeah, I was in Fall River, Massachusetts, probably 2-3 years ago, and they've got an amazing Veterans Park. They have a permanent scaled version of the Vietnam Wall. They've got a permanent scaled version of the Marine Corps Memorial, which is raising of the flag of Iwo Jima. But there was one memorial that caught my attention because I had never seen one before, and it was to honor Gold Star families.
Wow.
So I started doing a little bit of research only to find out that it's the only one in Massachusetts. I said, we got to bring this to Berkshire County. So I personally went to visited every single community in Berkshire County on nights and weekends, and I took names off of plaques and memorials. And we have close to 600 names that are now considered Gold Star families in Berkshire County since World War I. And I said, you know, we put soldiers' names on plaques, memorials. We dedicate highways or bridges in their honor.
Yeah.
But we don't ever recognize the families after the funeral. So I said, we're going to bring a Gold Star memorial to Berkshire County. And we got our first donation in December this past year. We broke ground on May 1st, and we're shooting for September 20th to have an official dedication unveiling. The community has really bought into this idea.
Yes.
And something has stuck with me about my father. When my father never knew where his namesake, or my, his best friend, my namesake, was buried, I found his cemetery 62 years later.
Wow.
And I brought my father to the cemetery.
Wow. Yeah.
And to see my father, who was 82 years old at that time, walk through the fresh fallen snow just to touch the face of Smitty's headstone.
Yeah.
I could see a tremendous weight lifted off of my dad.
Yeah.
He never spoke about Smitty, even though I'm named after his best friend. But after that day, I heard more stories about Smitty because the weight was lifted.
Right.
But the one thing he told me that has always stuck with me is that the wound was not fresh, but the pain was still there.
Yeah.
62 years later.
Oh, yeah.
So for these Gold Star families in the Berkshires, the wound is not fresh, but the pain that they have to endure for the next 50, 60, 70 years is still there.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a day to say thank you for your loved one's service and sacrifice, but thank you for your sacrifice dealing with that pain all these years. So I hope it's a place that will be a solemn location for these families to come visit, remember their loved ones, and also a reminder to the people who are driving through the Berkshires to say, oh, my God, I've not seen something like that before.
Right.
Let's do it in our hometown as well.
And again, going back to, and I know I repeat myself, but that comes with age, because I have lost friends there in the war. And I think even now, and their parents are gone. No, I mean, but I can remember this one very good friend of mine. They always set a place.
Yeah.
You know, at every, there was the empty chair.
Yep.
And you said, I can remember you said something in, that is so poignant about the man your dad was. He kept a picture of Smitty out of his bureau for his entire life. Yeah. I mean,
it's on my bureau now.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, when you stop and think about doing these kinds of things, philanthropic, I'm going to have you give a address for both the wall and the Gold Star where they can send contributions. I know my wife has already taken care of that. It was out of my allowance, by the way. So, but if you would.
We are complete with our fundraising.
Oh.
If anybody wants to make a donation, that's fine, but
yeah.
We are moving ahead.
Oh, yeah.
But July 10th, the Vietnam Wall will be arriving in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
It's going to be installed at War Memorial Baseball Field in Lenox. It's the only place big enough in Lenox that could accommodate that. I've got the sheriff and the state police and local police, the Legion Riders lined up to escort it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have an opening ceremony on July 11th. It's only going to be here from the 10th to the 14th.
Yeah.
So come by and pay your tribute. But we've already raised the money for that.
Good.
The Gold Star family, we're tentatively shooting for September 20th.
Okay.
That's a Saturday for the dedication.
Okay.
And I hope we can you can help us get the word out there.
Yeah.
Let's have the Berkshires come out strong.
Oh, yeah.
For this dedication.
Yeah.
But I'm not asking people for any more money.
Okay.
I think we've done our part. We're ready to move forward. The beauty of it all, Bill, the money that we've raised has been special in making it happen. But it's amazing how many people have donated time, materials to make it happen because they bought into it.
LP Adams again. Oh. Stepping up to the plate, both, and I had heard that about him in Dalton.
Yeah.
There's so many good people. One thing I got to tell you about this station, WTBR and PCTV, a few times a year we give 26-minute to locally owned and operated businesses free to push their business to do and that has paid back to me and to this station. The people are so appreciative because times are tough now. Mm. And, there's a lot of positive things going on in Pittsfield, really positive. I noticed today coming out here, they're starting to do something with the tank trail that they call Valentine Road. I've seen tank trails that were a lot smoother. Yeah. But seriously, please come to these. These mean, and I say this to the audience, there's families that you don't even know who have suffered loss through these wars. But Vietnam, and I last I checked, which was about a month or two ago, Vietnam veterans were dying at 350 a day.
A day.
So a lot of us won't be around much longer. But while I'm here, I'm going to promote it. Hmm. I'm going to promote Gold Star, Vietnam, or any service. Afghan, Iraqi vets.
Yep.
This is kind of a funny story. I'm selling poppies at Guido's, and this really attractive lady gets out of her car, and she starts walking towards me, and I have my Vietnam hat on, and she says, "Can I give you a hug?" Well, I'm not known as a chick magnet, you know what I mean? So I said, she said, "When I was in college, I believed the propaganda, and I said awful things and went to awful protest against you. Now I know better, and I just want to." I said, "Well, dude, come on."
Yeah.
Then she took out my poppies. I mean,
yeah.
So I think what we were saying earlier in the show, and maybe some teachers will listen to this, or administrators, or Desi,
yep.
Why don't we tighten up history a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, the Roman Empire and Greece, it's good to know about, but what we should know about more so are current 200-year history.
Right. And I think the other thing that's important, Bill, is that we can read what's written in a book.
Right.
Or I can talk to somebody who was actually...
Yeah, there.
...wrote the book.
Yep.
So I always say that, you know, you can listen to people who read a book, or you can listen to people who wrote the book. Our veterans are the people who wrote the book, and I think that needs to be told. Yeah. I came across an amazing statistic that on a per capita basis, Berkshire County had more people in service than any other place in America.
Wow.
It was an amazing statistic. It was the first time I've ever heard that. But those are the stories we need to hear. That's why the my generation, the next generation, these are stories that need to be brought forward because my father passed away 6 years ago. His stories are gone. I'm going to keep those stories alive. And I think we have an obligation to do that.
I have to shout out to somebody, Tyrone Ballinger. He was a Marine in Vietnam. And he used to do interviews on PCTV, and we got to find those, and we got to archive those, and make them available to the schools.
That's right.
Because you nailed it. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff in the book. I don't remember it. But when I talked to people, another person I want to think of past was Jack Bresnahan. Jack Bresnahan worked in a GE. I knew he was like a – Jack Bresnahan and Bill Reddy were like second fathers to me and third. Jack Bresnahan said something that stuck in my mind, and I told somebody not 6 months ago the same thing, and it was I wouldn't wish my war experience on anyone. Even my worst enemy.
Right.
But I am glad that I had it myself.
That's right.
And Bill Reddy, God rest his soul, well, one time we're at his house and the Battle of the Intrepid, you know, and he got up and he turned the channel. And we said, well, we're watching that. He goes, yeah, I was in the original cast. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is a tribute to those people.
Yep.
And I can't, as a veteran and as a citizen of Massachusetts, this Gold Star Monument, Gold Star Remembrance Memorial, to me is long overdue.
It's going to be an amazing year for the veterans, but it shouldn't just be this year. It should be every day to say thank you.
Yeah.
Whether we agreed with the war or not, we appreciate your service. It's a love of country, love of service, and love your community. Make a difference in your community.
And I don't you think, too, that more and more people are trying to – I mean, maybe the older ones – I shouldn't say this, but I really get upset with these demonstrations about race, about religion, all these things. This is America.
Yep.
And what's – it accepts everyone, in my opinion.
I think protesting, marching on Saturday or Sunday is great.
Yeah.
But I ask the question, what are you doing on Monday?
Right.
So make a difference on Monday by taking action.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. You know, I can't thank you enough for coming here. I called the chief of police, and Sheriff Bowler. And we did get you a passport to come out of Lenox.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, but you got to get right back.
I got to get right back.
You got to be back by 9. but seriously, thank you for all you're doing and all you have done. This guy, and I will tell you looking right at you, this guy has been a gift to this community, the entire community. I want to thank everybody for listening, staying tuned. I do this, and I'm even going to do it in a public school. God bless. Let's take care of each other. Today, let's lift somebody's burden. Make somebody smile. Call a person who may be lonely, having a bad day. To my friend Steve, best friend, wrote to me every day I was in Vietnam. Heal up, my buddy. You're on your way. God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Very simple. We need each other. Bye-bye.